Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball.
About 2.5 weeks in the Major League Baseball season, we welcome you into Big Time Baseball. I'm your host, Tony Gwynn Jr., along with my partner, John Heyman. John, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Tony?
I'm good. Baseball is in full effect. We got some already emerging storylines. Now, we'll start with the Tampa Bay Rays. They finally lose a game after going 13-0 to start the season. You and I talked about it last week. I mean, every year the season starts and we kind of just put the Tampa Bay Rays in the corner. And every year they come out and they surprise everybody. This one has been pretty remarkable, I must say.
Yeah, I'm always about the most surprised. I never even have them as a playoff team. They certainly look like one. I understand their schedule to this point has been generally easy. They finally played a quote-unquote good team in the Jays and lost, but still 13-1, very impressive. We are still in April, no guarantees of anything. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Atlanta Braves of 1982, the Brewers of 87 were the previous teams in the modern era to win the first 13, and neither of those teams won the World Series, so no guarantees. They also did lose two pitchers, Zach Eflin on the IL, and obviously, sadly, Jeffrey Springs looked like an ace, also will be on the IL, but I mean, so impressive. At least going into last night, they were out homering the opponents, I think it was 32-6, homered more than the other team had scored. They've just been dominant, so my bad. Once again, Rays are good.
a lot of baseball to be played, so we can't hold it over your head too much because we don't know how this thing's going to shake out. But certainly to start the season, Brandon Lau has been just absolutely terrific on the offensive end. You got a Rosarena coming over from that WBC. He seems to have been carrying it on. And you mentioned it. It almost felt like it was a matter of time, right? The injuries started to pile up, and they lose their first game to a good Toronto team. But nevertheless, 13-0, pretty impressive start.
Really impressive. I mean, you know, I know they played Oakland and Detroit, and, you know, they played some bad teams to this point. But to win 13 straight against major league teams, I mean, I guess somebody could tell you Oakland's not really a major league team, but they do have some major league players. You know, it's very impressive. I wonder, being in Tampa, and this is not a good excuse for me because I'm a so-called expert, they have almost no media coverage, even though that's a mid-sized market, media coverage. So I think some of their guys, you know, are probably certainly undercovered and probably overlooked. Rosarena, terrific player. I mean, he was incredible in the postseason 2020, and amazing in the WBC. We should think about, at least I should not put you in this, more about some of these guys. Obviously, Wander Franco, terrific talent, right? Lau and several others. They're highly underrated. It's a little bit of an advantage in a way to be in Tampa Bay, I think, because, you know, they don't have any negativity in terms of the media either. And as you saw, a lot of their players have done better in Tampa than after they left. So I think it's a double-edged sword. It's positive, yet it's negative in terms of not getting the publicity that they really deserve.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
That's a great point, right? It's one thing to go out, play good baseball at a high level, but when that scrutiny gets turned up on you, not everybody, but certainly not all, will react well to it. And so that I think there is a little bit of an advantage there, right? You get to show up to work. Yep. You're not going to be really criticized. First of all, it's not really much to criticize. You won 13 straight at the time, but right. you're not going to be criticized. You're not going to have the pressures of let's say a big time area like watching. You know, as good as they are, no one is going to those games still. Like it's relatively probably the lowest out of all the 30 teams in Major League Baseball. They probably draw the worst year in and year out.
Yeah, consistently, probably. I mean, right now, Oakland is probably the lowest at this moment. But yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
In terms of consistently, they're consistently low. Is that a positive in terms of no pressure? Certainly the media, and this is not a small market. It's not always about the market. St. Louis is focused on baseball. They really cover the sport. You know, I think the three papers that cover the sport right now, like a blanket, to use a cliche, are the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Boston Globe, and the New York Post. You know, there definitely is, you know, in those baseball towns, St. Louis, Boston, New York, probably Cincinnati to a degree, even though that's tied for the smallest market with Milwaukee, a little more scrutiny than there is in Tampa, and it probably helps them in terms of their performance.
Yeah, make no mistake about Kevin Cash has these guys playing some really, really, really good baseball.
Yeah.
You mentioned the opposite earlier in your statement about the Oakland A's. I say the opposite because if one team is playing at an extremely high level, the Oakland A's are doing whatever the opposite is right now. And I'll be honest, the few times I've watched, it is tough to watch, man. I mean, 17 walks in last night's ball game. They gave up double-digit runs on like three consecutive nights earlier in the year, and so this team is going to be a very, very long year for all those guys. Listen, I'm certainly not going to sit here and discredit any of the players for going out. They're going out, they're busting their tail, they're trying to win ball games. But this roster, as compared to the rest of the rosters in Major League Baseball, is not very good.
They're historically bad. I mean, they're only 3-11 now, or only, you know, 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks, as you said, into the season. 3-11. I mean, this may be the rate of victory throughout the season. They are a terrible team. Look, they're starting pitchers, and we're 2 weeks in, have an ERA of 10. That you cannot live like that. It's a wonder they won three games like that. And their bullpen hasn't been that much better. You know, I had a rival executive tell me recently that it reminds him of the movie Major League. Now, I'm not a movie buff, so I don't really know every detail, but I think in that movie, correct me if I'm wrong, the ownership was trying to lose. Again, not blaming any of the players, but the ownership wanted to lose. Do they want to lose? I mean, they're not going to admit this, but is that part of the motive to get them to Las Vegas or somewhere else? There is a lot of buzz about them going to Las Vegas. And baseball's been really good about this. I mean, some of these moves, and I would hope you'd agree with me on this, in NFL, ridiculous. The San Diego Chargers belong in San Diego. They don't need another team in Los Angeles. I know we had no teams in Los Angeles for a while. No, and I'm not a football expert. No teams in the second biggest market. Ridiculous. And now we have two teams, which is unnecessary. And I mean, it certainly has helped the Padres. They are the team now in San Diego. And I mean, mostly the Padres are helped by the fact that they are trying. They are the opposite of the Oakland A's ownership. Give them credit. I'm giving them all the credit. But I mean, you know, the Oakland A's front office, has been great over the past several decades. They were celebrated in the book Moneyball for being so great, for being able to win on a shoestring, but it can't go on forever like this. And, you know, they look to me like the ownership just isn't putting in any effort, and it's very sad.
Listen, I'll tell you what. I bet you Oakland fans, whatever hands they have left, are hoping that this turns out like Major League. In Major League, they ended up getting to the playoffs, and they ruined ownership's opportunity to move to Florida, I believe it was. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's the movies. That's Hollywood. Tony, this team, I don't guarantee much because I've been wrong enough. I will guarantee this team will not be in the playoffs this year. Will not happen. That's a Hollywood script.
I have a feeling that you'll be right. And, you know, I know Mark Kotze personally. I mean, he was a dude that was on the Padres when my dad was there. He kind of took me under his wing. I do not want to see him have to go through what he's about to go through. But it certainly looks like that's where it's headed. And listen, I think there's something to be said that we've kind of gone back and forth on this over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years as Oakland tries to get a new place, whether it be in Oakland or whether it's in Vegas. This does seem like they are punting with that intention of being able to move. Now, we already know from hearing from Rob Manfred that nothing's going to happen in terms of expansion until Tampa's situation and Oakland's situation is resolved. So looks like Oakland may be trying to speed that process up with the year they're putting together.
And you're kind to say 5-6 years. This has been going on more than a decade at this point. I may seem like
you're right,
but it's been going on forever. Same in Tampa. And you hear of a little progress with the stadium in Tampa, but it's gone back and forth forever. I don't feel that there's much chance of a stadium there. You know, I don't know that for sure. Oakland certainly does not seem that way. You hear rumors now of Las Vegas. They're saying nothing's imminent in terms of the move, but of course they have to say that. So, you know,
let me ask you a question when it comes to this whole moving and expansion issue, because you saw that Salt Lake City has thrown their name in the hat in terms of getting in its expansion team. How long do you think Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred in particular, is willing to wait this out? Because it does seem like the expansion topic has started to come up a lot more in the last couple of years. But it seems like, I mean, Rob Manfred has been very patient with the whole Oakland situation and the Tampa situation. How long do you think that they'll wait? Because I would imagine Major League Baseball, they want to expand here as soon as they can.
Right, but they have to get the right cities. You know, we have to question now whether Tampa and even Miami were the right cities to have two teams in Florida. Both struggling. So you got to make sure that you've got it right. You know, he did say he's willing to wait and see how the stadium thing plays out. So, I mean, this could be endless. Give them credit for speeding up the games, but this process, I'm not sure it's going to be speeded up. And there is, beyond the fact that there are towns out there that make sense, I think Las Vegas and, to me, Nashville make the most sense. You know, obviously you've got Portland, you've got Charlotte, you've got Salt Lake City, Montreal. There's a number of candidates. 32 teams, mathematically speaking, might make more sense than 30, maybe. You know, I'm not a math expert, but it does seem to be more of a round number. But, you know, I think that the big thing is, as you said, they've got to wait and see what happens with Oakland and Tampa. But a lot of waiting here. I'm glad the games have been speeded up, but this actual process – it seems to be endless.
Yeah. You hope that they come to some type of, I don't know, not decision, but an answer for all these teams that are not trying to win baseball games. You add two more, will they be doing the same thing? I don't know. It's a sticky situation, but it'll work itself out at some point. Let's move on to the Phillies, who, and a lot of people felt, you and I both felt, would be a team that could win this division and make some noise. They have started off slow. And all of a sudden, Bryce Harper, who seems to be coming a little bit faster than everybody thought he would be, may play some first base for this ball club. He's begin starting to hit a little bit.
Yeah, even faster than I thought. They said first half. I had heard potentially late May. at this point, he may be that in terms of the hitting. He seems to be ready. They're not sure on the sliding. I say, you know, we don't have to all be Trey Turner with his fantastic slide. You know, if you can get him in the games and hit, that'd be quite a value for Philly. This guy's a ball player, wants to get on the field, chomping at the bit, willing to play first base. I mean, and I'm with you. We were together on this. The Philly should be an outstanding team. They were really good as soon as they brought in Rob Thompson, and obviously they did great in the playoffs, surprised a lot of people, including myself, then added Turner, Taiwan Walker, Kimbrel, Soto. I think their winter was as good as anybody's. They should be a much better team than they've shown so far.
Yeah, no, it's really been confusing in some ways. I mean, obviously, when you lose Hoskins, that's gonna hurt a little bit. And but it hasn't just been on the offensive end where they struggled. They struggled in the rotation a little bit, the bullpen a little bit. And, you know, you can get a guy like Bryce Harper back. That does patch up some holes by itself.
I mean, he's huge. We saw that in the playoffs last year. This should be a great team, seriously. Nola, Wheeler at the top of that rotation. Ranger Suarez, if fully healthy, really good number three starter. Taiwan, good number four starter. The first time in probably 10 years, I look at that bullpen and I don't cringe. It
looks right.
Okay. Looks like they can survive, particularly with that rotation and that offense. At full strength, with Harper back, even without Hoskins, I think this is the best lineup in baseball. We got to wait to see exactly when Harper comes back, but I think everybody's now expecting it to be not too much longer.
Yeah, we'll sit back, wait and see. Right now, the Phillies 5-9, fourth place in the National League East. Again, a lot of baseball left, so can't come up with too many answers as it pertains to that. All right, let's go to Detroit. We don't talk about Detroit very often. But certainly this was a team maybe 2-3 years ago had surprised a lot of people by finishing close to 500. They might even have been right at 500, and they seem to have gone backwards since. AJ Hinch is a terrific manager, a World Series winner, but hasn't quite been able to get this ship kind of going in the right direction. He made some tough decisions a couple games ago. Javi Baez, who the night before had a base running blunder, had another one. Now, I know a lot of people will focus on him not getting out of the box on the double, but he got a double. So I don't think we should hold that over his head. However, the following batter with one out, he gets doubled off a second, forgetting how many outs there are. Now, AJ Hinch, I had to send a message to his ball club, because as he said, it wasn't just Javi Baez who was making these mistakes. He just happened to be the one to make the mistake that he had to kind of make an example out of. Javi Baez, although I don't know that his answer was the greatest, I think ultimately he accepted the punishment and understood why it was happening. But this is something that I think AJ Hinch, I had no problem with. I think this is something AJ Hinch had to do, because if the rest of those guys look and see Javi Baez can be snatched out of a game for making a mental mistake, that means everybody's going to be held accountable.
Absolutely. Well-deserved. I mean, he had the triple whammy. He's overpaid based on his performance. He's not performed well, forgetting underperformed. He's performed poorly since he got there, and made a mental gaffe that is really unforgivable, and losing track of the number of outs. I'm with you on the double. It's okay. You can live with that. I did get to second, but you got to remember the outs when you're not performing well. And this is a guy with incredible talent. Did great in New York, other than that thumbs down episode, which he took all the blame for, but he wasn't the only one doing it. But you know, we see what's going on in Detroit, and you know, they've made a lot of mistakes, and I think they need to be thankful that there's such a thing as the Oakland A's, because they're pretty terrible also. And good thing that AJ Hinch did the right thing here. I don't know this is going to solve anything. This team is not good. Even if they're hustling, it's not a good team. They've got a new general manager, obviously, with Scott Harris. May take a while to get everything in place, but I mean, the underperformance of the draft picks, Torkelson in particular, has been notable. They have some pieces that we think will be good players. Riley Green should be. He was an outstanding amateur hitter. You know, they're not – completely bereft of talent, but they look like they're a couple of years away. Hinch did the right thing. I'm not sure it's the solution. They need to do. They need to get a better team on the field.
Yeah, no, it may not solve all of their problems, but when you're this early in the season, and if you don't nip those type of things in the bud, as bad as it is now, it could get a whole lot worse if you continue to have guys making mental mistakes like that. And so A.J. Hinch had to do what he had to do. Let's slide over to the National League Central, where the rookie Jordan Walker was off to a terrific start. Hitting streak got up to 12 games. It was finally snapped. First of all, you know, I had heard a lot about Jordan Walker, but I hadn't actually seen him. The video in which Marmol is telling him he made the team, it's funny because he's sitting down the whole time. And at the end of the video, he gets up, and I realized how big this guy is. He is huge. I mean, it was almost like watching Judge and Altuve in that one photo where he's standing next to him. That's what it looked like watching him. He's off to a terrific start. This guy can play.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the reason that you hadn't seen him before is because you are a fortunate one who gets to be in Arizona for spring training. Those of us who had to drive around Florida like a nut, I saw him several times. And yes, he's huge and he hits huge home runs, long distance, reminded people of McGuire back in spring training out in Jupiter. And this guy's an amazing talent to be there at 20 years old doing this. This is obviously, barring something weird, this is obviously a future superstar that we're talking about. You don't come to the major leagues. I guess there have been some rare instances where somebody comes to major league and does something special at 20 or 21 and doesn't become a star, I guess. But normally, if you're at the major league level, by the time you're at 20 and you're doing this, you're going to be quite a superstar. And what we think is going to happen. They're great at drafting, developing, amazing. Some of their trades aren't so great. I mean, if I'm them, I'm still, why did I trade a Rosarena? Why did I trade Alcantara? Why did I trade Zach Gallen? Their drafting and developing is kind of made up for it. And it's another one that looks like a winner. They've got some other guy, Mason Wynn, at shortstop, throws the ball 100 miles an hour across the diamond. I can tell you this because you, again, had the luxury of being in Arizona for spring training. They've got some players coming, and they're off to a rocky start, but I mean, obviously any team with Goldschmidt, Arenado, this should be a good team. This team should win that division. So far, not there.
Yeah, I guess you can't be good at everything, right? I mean, they do draft, they develop well. Yeah, so they're one thing that they don't have it necessarily wrapped their minds around is the whole trading thing. Alcantara, I mean, some of those trades you just mentioned, I mean, those are some pretty talented guys.
Well, yeah, the Alcantara-Gallen trade for Ozuna is probably the worst trade of the last decade or so. But I will say this for them. They did trade for Arenado. They did trade for Goldschmidt. So they got those right. So I don't want to leave this and just say that they're so terrible at trading. They do take chances, made some mistakes. But, you know, they make up for it with their drafting and their developing. And I know there's some pitching questions there, but, God, they should win that division, I do think. Milwaukee's looked pretty good so far. I mean, Pittsburgh's been a surprise, but I St. Louis should win that division.
Yeah, let's talk about the Milwaukee Brewers, because I happen to have seen them the last 2 days. And without a Burns right now, or who the Padres are going to miss, and without a Woodruff, who is on the IL right now, they're number one in ERA. I mean, this team is depending on their pitching. And don't look now, Christian Yelich looks healthy. They got some guys in that lineup who are swinging the bat. They run the bases. They take advantage of the new rules and their run game. This team is building confidence pretty early on. They got a swagger about them right now.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a better job drafting lately, too. I mean, Garrett Mitchell, who had the walk-off home run against the Mets, a UCLA star, I'm not sure how he lasted to the middle of the first round. You look at that draft, I think it was 2019 draft, it's, you know, you would reorder it completely. I mean, Corbin Carroll, you know, you got, I think, Brett Beatty, who's certainly a good enough hitter to be at the major league level, they would move up, and you've got, I mean, Torkelson was picked one. That may end up being another Tiger mistake. We'll see. It's obviously early in the game. 2019 draft wasn't that long ago, But Garrett Mitchell, star at UCLA, I suspect that it all came to down to the fact that he was diabetic and teams shied away. I mean, this is – we're now – that was 2019, I believe. I mean, we have modern medicine. I'm not sure why teams shied away. This guy, to me, at this point, either he or Carroll looks like the best player out of that draft. So give the Brewers credit for doing that. I don't think that's taking a chance. Maybe other teams thought they were taking a chance, but – yeah, their pitching's been good too. Peralta, they to me, obviously they made that Hader trade, which you're very familiar with, which we still don't quite get. They did end up making something out of that, though. Obviously, they traded Ruiz, who came in that draft, for Contreras, who had it, last I looked at it, hitting streak since he got there, and it, batting in the middle of the order. You know, they've got some good things going. Once Woodruff is back and Burns is really on his game, you know, they're always a threat, and you know, it's a very small market team that's been able to make the playoffs for the most of the last few years, other than last year when that Hader trade really cost them the spot that they should have had. So you know, I mean, I look at the National League and I'm thinking it's got to be, you know, we got to know these teams. It's got to be the Dodgers, the Padres, Cardinals, Phillies, Braves, and Mets. That's one thing you know, tough about the National League. There are six teams that seem to have a leg up on all the other teams, but, you know, look at Milwaukee, looks pretty good. So maybe they'll threaten that top six.
Yeah, they do two things well. They pitch and they catch it behind the pitchers. And so anytime you can play defense and keep guys off the board, you're going to have a chance to win ballgames. The only thing that concerns me about the Brewers is their depth. If somebody gets hurt, it could really change the way they look offensively and defensively. So, but they're certainly off to a good start. Peralta seems to be back on it in his first couple of starts of the year. He's throwing the ball well. He pitches tonight against the Padres, going up against Seth Lugo. Let's talk about the two teams that I think everybody felt really good about when they made predictions at the beginning of the season, and that is the Padres and the Astros. Both right now under 500. Again, it's early, but certainly didn't see that coming for either the Padres or the Astros.
No, I mean, the Astros had a tough spring. You know, obviously, Brantley was out. Altuve got hit in the WBC. At the time, Yordan was out for most of spring training. We didn't know if he was going to make it back. He has, and he's hitting like he always does. But, you know, it's tough to come back after a championship. Guys getting injuries. So I'm not surprised about that one. Me, the Padres, I have them as a World Series team. You know, I think they're still waiting. Now, we've seen moments from Soto, but I think they're still waiting for him to be that guy that he was in Washington. And that's why we don't have an extension offer at this point. He has not been that guy to this point. It's not going to be easy anyway with Scott Boras as his agent. This is going to be one of the best free agents ever. You know, he's 20 – how old is he? 23, 24 years old,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, he's going to be one of the best free agents ever after next year. It's probably tough to sign him anyway, but, you know, it's a tough call to even make that $500 million offer when he really has not hit the same as he did in Washington. I do think he prefers to bat third. It seems like he's been batting third lately. You know, they're probably going to have to keep batting him third if that's what he wants. You know, they have a stack of superstars at the top of the lineup, so it's probably not easy to pick which one's one, which one's two, which one's three. But I think Soto likes to see the pitches, so he wants to see more pitches and probably more comfortable at third. But, I mean, that can't be the whole reason that he has basically been an average hitter after being the best hitter in the big leagues when he was in Washington.
Yeah, he started the year batting second. Both him and Machado got off to slow starts, so you saw Bob Melvin flip, and they both kind of started getting going. We had Soto hit the three homers in a short span of days, but then they both kind of faded off a little bit. So, you know, Bob Melvin certainly has his hands full in terms of where to put guys and who wants to hit where. And so it's early. Once again, I'll say that. So we won't put too much emphasis on it. They're trying to get going. They certainly are expected to be a good ball club. I want to talk about the Braves real quick because they've started to play some good baseball after losing three or four to the Padres, actually. But Orlando Arcia, who was off to a terrific start, he's now out with a fractured wrist. this is a, you know, they have depth. That's the thing about the Braves. They can call up Grisham and maybe plug him in, but Orlando Arcia was kind of the surprise to start the season. He had really been good for that team. That's a tough break for him and the Braves.
Yeah, unfortunate injury. I mean, good for him that he signed an extension, as everybody does with the Braves. People love to be in Atlanta, and they want to be with a winner. This is, I think, the World Series favorite at this moment as we speak, and I understand why. I mean, you know, they've got a terrific all-around team and a very young team, a team that won 101 games last year and is very, very young. That's a good recipe for success.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, that's going to do it for this week of Big Time Baseball. Make sure you subscribe, like, wherever you get your podcast. You can get it on the Odyssey app as well. Until next week, we'll do it again. He's John Heyman. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. Also, don't forget, hit your auto download feature so you just get this podcast right off the jump. Until next week, you guys take care.